Holy Gospel comes to us from the book of Luke, from the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace,' to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this holiday of freedom and the reminder that all that freedom is from you, and you desire that for all people. Enable us, empower us to bring the freedom that the gospel brings to everyone we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when my dad was going to plant a field, he didn't just dig up the dirt and put the seed in and expect it to grow. Oh, no. My father was an agricultural engineer, and he loved the soil, especially that rich black topsoil that would grow good crops. Daddy knew how to prepare the soil. He got a soil map of our farm, so he knew where he had acid soil and base soil, whatever that is. He knew sometimes soil needed additives to make it ready for the seed, so that seed could grow into a healthy plant that would produce fruits or vegetables, which our family then enjoyed. Oh yes, there is nothing like a freshly picked tomato that's still hot from the sun, and you slice it into thick slices, and you put it between two slices of white bread, and you put mayonnaise on it. Kurt told me Duke's mayonnaise at early service. And then just a pinch of salt. That is just wonderful. That's amazing. Ah, the harvest. It is wonderful. Because tomatoes are and were my favorite vegetable, I like to watch what my father did to grow good tomatoes, along with adding things in to make the soil ready for that seed or the plant to grow. Daddy had a Troy-built rototiller. Now, a rototiller has these tines on it, and you hold it, and it wants to go, but you have to hold it, and it digs up the dirt, and first it clogs, and then it breaks up the clogs, and it becomes this fine, beautiful soil. Daddy said the Troy-built rototiller would dig down to China if you looked. It was powerful. Well, I just think if I was a tomato plant, I would love to be put in that gentle, loving, soft, rich earth. Not only that, my dad taught me that when I dug the hole for my tomato plant, even though I had a scrawny little tomato plant, I should dig it deep and wide. He said, "Martha, if you have a $1 plant, you only have a $5 hole. So at first, I didn't understand why this plant needed all this extra space. But my dad explained he gave us space for the roots to easily develop in the soil so they could grow and become that powerful network that would nourish the growing plant that we would see on the top of the ground. And then, in the hot, dry summers of Virginia where we live, water was an important ingredient in the tomato growing process. Sometimes we got rain, but sometimes you didn't get rain. So then you needed to water every plant generously each day. And on one particular summer, I decided I was going to sell tomatoes so I could go to the Lutheran Youth Gathering in Texas. And everybody grew good tomatoes that year. But notwithstanding, I had this tomato patch, and I had 70 tomato plants in it. And every day, if it didn't rain, and it usually didn't, I carried 2 gallons of water at a time up to the 70 tomato plants. And so the water would soak into the plant. I made this kind of moat thing around it. Daddy taught me that too. And that was so that the water that you carried up the hill might stay on that plant, and that plant got the good of it. So that was important. And then, I want you to get to this part. Once a week, I was supposed to go through the rows of tomatoes and pull the leaves from the patch. And that's so that that beautiful soil would put so much work into. Well, that would be just available to that tomato. The tomato vine and tomatoes for the fruit and stuff like that, not those weed things. Just as my dad prepared the soil for the plants to grow strong and produce fruit, so Jesus sent these 70 disciples ahead of him on a special mission to prepare the people for his arrival. The disciples had watched Jesus healing everywhere he went, and the disciples watched his authority and his power over evil. So Jesus gives these 70 followers, who are now the first missionaries, some very brief instructions, actually. He says, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of heaven has come here. That's their mission. That's it. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of heaven has come near. Let's say that. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of heaven has come near. But then, after that very simple instruction, Jesus takes a lot of time to give these 70 missionaries instructions that show how urgent their mission is. Don't pack anything. Don't pack a bag. Man, well, I won't have an extra outfit. I won't have extra shoes. I won't have a raincoat. Just go right now. It's urgent. Receive whatever hospitality is offered to you. No matter if you're Jewish and you're worried about dietary laws, just eat whatever they give you. That's okay. He even says it twice, so they realize. I'm talking to you. Eat whatever you get. That's hard when we're against in someone's home, isn't it? Sometimes. Well, my son used to not want to eat things, and so he told this little lie. He would say, what is that? Oh, and whatever it was, if he was scared of it, he'd say, I'm allergic to that. Wasn't too good with the hospitality. But if you're scared of food, I understand that. So heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of heaven has come near. Don't let anything distract you from the mission. Stick to the mission. In fact, Jesus says, your mission is so important. If you see someone on the road that you know, don't stop and talk to them. Get on down to the next town. I'm coming, and I need you to prepare these people for me to come. These people are going to grow into the kingdom of God, and you need to prepare that soil. Then Jesus said, when you're in the town and someone has welcomed you to their home, and not everyone will, you will be rejected, Jesus said. It will not all be sweetness and light. I made stewardship visits with my dad, and it wasn't all sweetness and light. Anyway, Jesus says, stay there. Stay in the home that's welcomed you. Don't waste time and energy and maybe shopping around for a better place. Golly, Laura Chenard's got a pool. Let's stay with her. Stay where you are, because otherwise that would distract from your mission. And what message would it give to your host? Would they maybe think, I'm not good enough for the kingdom of heaven because I don't have a pool? That's not a time to look for a nicer place. Stay right where you are. Plus, you don't have anything to move. Stay where you are. The important thing is not where you sit. The important thing is not what you're eating. The important thing is the mission. And what's the mission? Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of heaven has come near. Let's say that again. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of heaven has come near. Well, when the 70 got back from their mission, they were so excited about their success, they just had to tell Jesus and anybody else that was standing there. They said, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." Or, I would say, "It worked. We have power over demons." That must have been something. After all, demons were attributed to a lot of illnesses that today we would know were other things. Remember when Pastor told us about the man in the Decapolis? Jesus got off the boat and there's this man. He's raving mad. He's so bad he lives in the graveyard. And they tried to restrain him so he wouldn't hurt himself and other people. And he would break that shackle. He was so wild he couldn't keep clothes on. He just lived by himself. His community had to give up on him. But Jesus got off the boat in the Decapolis, which is where the Gentiles live. And Jesus did not give up on that man. Jesus healed him. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't with him. He was a Gentile. It was for everybody. It was healing. So you can see how amazing it must have been for the disciples to be part of preparing for God's harvest of people. They were excited. But Jesus doesn't seem surprised. Jesus gently refocuses them on the mission. They're kind of too zoomed in on the mission. Like when you're on MapQuest and you're on a street, you want to know where it is. Zoom back out, y'all. It's not all about your power. It's the mission and the message. And by the way, the most exciting thing, he says, is that your names are written in heaven. I have gone to prepare a place for you, and there is a doorway, and your name is over it, and that's your special place. That's what's worth celebrating. Be careful about getting all excited about this power that I have given you. It's not your power. I gave you the power, Jesus said, to defeat evil. That's important. So what does all this mean for us? Does it mean we need to go sign up for a mission trip? That's okay, but I don't think that's what it means. Does it mean if I see my neighbor at the grocery store and say hello, I'm not supposed to do that? I don't think so. But does it mean that we're supposed to remember we're on that mission too? That mission to heal the sick and tell people the kingdom of God has come near. It means we need to be spreading the gospel. It means that each one of us are God's missionaries, and God has given us the job and the ability to bring that healing and that good message that God is waiting for each person to open their door to friendship with God. So wait, how do we bring healing? Like, I can't heal someone, and I don't think I could cast out a demon. Maybe if I prayed a lot. But there is a way we can offer healing and wholeness and comfort to people. Now, you, a lot of you know, my husband about 10.5 years ago had a really bad stroke, and our whole lives were changed. He was just laying flat there, and we had so many meals. I tried to stay with him, so I needed meals brought to me, but I am horrible at asking for help. So I had a friend, and she organized that. She's just lovely at organizing. So she did that. And then before Ron could come home in his wheelchair, we needed to get rid of the carpet in our house because wheelchairs don't roll on carpet too well. So someone came into our home and ripped up our carpet and left these samples on the table and said, "Tell me which one you want. I'm going to put flooring in your house." And somebody else, I don't know who even, they came and they gave us a wheelchair ramp so Ron could get in the door. Because before that, it was pretty interesting. Trying to get in. I almost dumped him out in the backyard once. He said, "I don't think this is a good idea." So he had so much help. One time, Ron had a best friend, and he came to the hospital to talk to us every day. And if he couldn't get there, we would say the Lord's Prayer together on the phone. And Ron confessed to him. He said, "Why did this happen to me, Craig? Why did this happen to me? I think God has left me." And Craig said, "No. Said if you could sit up, I'd walk your head. This is not God being angry at you. But their care for us and their assurance to us that we were loved by God told us that God had come near to us in our time of distress. God had come near to us. They brought healing, and you can do the same. You are doing the same in the things that you do here. But we'd like to say sometimes, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's not near, it's here. But it isn't, is it? No. Sometimes our life is going pretty well. We might have a great house, a wonderful job. Nobody's sick right now. We're healing up from our illnesses, surgeries. Pretty good. But there's evil in the world. And even though God defeated Satan on the cross, Satan and the powers of evil, the powers of darkness, are angry. And they have not given up. So they kind of roam around looking for someone who will take up the cause of evil. And we see that, don't we? We've seen it in those people in Orlando. They were shot for no reason by that crazed individual. We see it just the other day at Bangladesh. There was a restaurant and people were taken hostage, and anyone who was not a citizen was mowed down with a gun, shot. In the airport in Turkey, people want to make us afraid. Those are battles, and evil thinks they're winning. But as we saw in Charleston, those families whose loved ones were taken from them turned around and demonstrated the most powerful forgiveness. So evil, when it thinks it's winning, doesn't win. Evil thought it won. Satan thought he won when Jesus died on the cross. He thought he won. But 3 days later, Jesus rose again, and evil has lost. Romans 8:28 tells us about God's love expressed through God's own child, Jesus, who offered himself for us all. Who can tell us we're not good enough for God? No one, because God tells us on the cross, "You are good enough." What thing can keep us from God? Not our life, not our death, not angels, not rulers, good ones or bad ones, not Brexit, not things that are happening. None of that. No matter how much power anything or anyone has, it can't separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because God is the giver of all that power. God is outside of this place. God wins, and God is working all things for our ultimate good because it was accomplished on the cross, and we have a home with God. This is awesome news, and we need to share this goodness with people who need to hear some good news. So don't forget your mission. What is our mission? Heal the sick and tell everyone the kingdom of heaven has come here. Amen.